Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Joel chapter 3, we were taught that everybody is accountable to God for his actions. Let's continue with that thought today. A truth that was stated back in the book of Genesis still holds true today, that God will bless those who bless Israel, and he curses those who curse Israel. And my friend, that every Christian, everyone that names the name of Christ, should be a person who loves Israel. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 32 and following, it referred to this time as the judgment of nations. And so we delved into the fact that we are all accountable before God. You can't blame anyone else for your faults or failures. Now today, people, parents like to make excuses for their children. They like to blame things for their failures. This is wrong, that's wrong. And people are used to that humanistic attitude of no responsibility. The things that go wrong happens to be someone else's fault. Well, folks, that just doesn't hold true today. So I want to say to you that one day you're going to give an account of yourself before God, and no one is going to be able to stand in for you. Now, verses 3 through 6 dealt with the atrocities against Israel. Well, verses 7 and 8 dealt with God's avenging. Verses 9 through 16 looks at bringing them all to Armageddon, after which he draws them to this valley for judgment. And so that's where our accountability was to be seen before God, and the accountability of nations, of peoples, before God. We saw the word there in verse 9, proclaim. That was actually a legal term for which they were to give a response or be accountable. Now God gives them a chance to prepare for war against the Lord at Armageddon. Warning that it is coming. God implores them to prepare. And the rest of verse 9 and the following verses go into the specifics in preparing to fight the God they have rejected. Now, as we take up there, since the weapons of the world's warfare are carnal, in our text, he then encourages them to use their carnal weapons against him. But you see, we will pull down their strongholds, and their strongholds are pulled down by spiritual weapons, the weapons of the Lord, not the carnal weapons that Satan provides in the world. Now, they, that is the Gentiles, the non-saved, and the non-Jews, they are told to prepare. Now, the Hebrew word for prepare here in verse 9 was often translated sanctify. That is, they're to sanctify themselves and prepare for war, setting themselves apart from anything that may hinder them from being fully prepared. Now, for we who are saved, we are to sanctify ourselves. That is, we are to set ourselves apart from sin and the world First Hebrews 12 says the sin, the weight and sin that does so easily beset us. And that's what we're to do for the spiritual warfare. And our warfare is against the one who walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we are to attack the gates of hell. In this war, we are to put on the whole armor of God, as it's described in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 19. Now, my friend, let me just warn you here, as other preachers have said this before me, but it does bear repeating. I think Evangelist Dennis Corll is the last one I heard to say it, but he said, if you have on all the armor but the shoes, you are not prepared for war. Of course, those shoes are the gospel of peace that we're to carry to a lost and dying world, knowing that Satan's tool that he's fought against many is the doctrine of predestination. And the doctrine of predestination has caused many Christians to take those shoes off and walk barefooted into the battle. And you see, the problem with that is there are many Christians who no longer witness. Now, there are Christians that don't witness that will tell you they're not Calvinistic. But my friend, you're a practicing Calvinist if you don't witness. It's that simple. Now, don't forget, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That was the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're talking about the local church. The local church that follows the Lord Jesus Christ will find that, hey, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Now, gates are not for attacking, they're for defense. So we're supposed to have the Word of God, the helmet of salvation, the preparation of the gospel of peace, oh, the shield of faith, the shield of righteousness. Oh, my friend, so many things that we're to have going into this battle. And so with prayer and all of that, we attack the gates of hell. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Now look, ours is a church. You ought to be in a local church that preaches the word. They're not rocking and rolling. They're not trying to use the arm of flesh to accomplish the will of God, because the arm of flesh is that thing that calls for a curse, as Jeremiah 17, verse 5 tells us. Now, as Christians, we're to be taking the gospel to the world. The local church should have a very active missions program. You see, hell is the destiny for those without Christ. God has entrusted us with taking the gospel to a lost and dying world. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, remember, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. Now you say, well, when he says both, is he saying select two of those four? Oh, no. He means both at the same time, where you are and through the rest of the world. Well, how do you do that? In your tithes and offerings, as you give to missions, if your church has faith promised, you give that and you help support the missionaries, as well as tithe, take care of the local church. Just understand that the Lord viewed the offering of the local church of Philippi as a sweet savor offering when they ministered to the missionaries of Paul's missionary team. And so let me encourage you to be faithful in giving, because it is something that helps to fulfill the Great Commission as it was told by the Lord Jesus Christ, reaching the world with the gospel. They need it, because without Christ, their destiny is hell. Jude 23 says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And oh yes, those garments get spotted by the flesh, and it happens so easily. And so we have to be careful that that doesn't happen with us in our way and in our lives. We don't want that happening. Now, in our text, verse 9, they're told to wake up their mighty men. Kind of reminds you of King Saul and Abner asleep beside him when David and one of his men go over and they take Saul's tools of war. They should have woke up and protected their king. If David had been walking in the flesh, he would have killed Saul. Now, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Satan has a mighty, organized army. We find there, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, understand when he names those four things, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places, he's naming divisions and officers of Satan's army. They're principalities. Now, these are devils who've had the tools as a Hitler, a Stalin, or as today, Islam, and various world leaders. And they've brought much death and destruction through them. Then there are the powers of Satan that have been instrumental in getting Christians involved in the cares of this life and the riches and the pleasures, and they are no longer fruitful. They become unfruitful. They make the latest technology and how to purchase that technology and use it in my ministry. They make it more important than how do I rescue the perishing and care for the dying? How do I have the power of God upon me? Knowing that the arm of flesh does not give. Then there's the rulers of the darkness of this world. Oh, they have so infiltrated the world and even the churches of our day. I hate to see these panty-waisted preachers that have allowed the darkness, those demons, to come into the church where now they're justifying immodest dress, cussing, social drinking, rock and roll music, even if it is so-called religious rock and roll, and on down the line. And what a shame. And I think that in of itself tells us it's the last day. I think soon that you're going to see in these local churches, I think you're going to see casual marijuana under the guise of medical marijuana, which is a great misnomer, I believe, in my personal opinion.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation for the Bible stands.